May the Lord help us to commence this morning with hymn 949. There's not a name beneath the skies, nor is there one in heaven above, but that of Jesus can suffice the sinner's burden to remove. Hymn 949.
Thank you.
let us read from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 7, and we will begin at verse 19. That's the 19th verse in the 7th chapter of Luke. And John, calling unto him two of his disciples, sent them to Jesus, saying, Art thou he that should come, or look we for another? When the men were come unto him, they said, John Baptist has sent us unto thee, saying, Art thou he that should come, or look we for another? And in that same hour he cured many of their infirmities and plagues, and of evil spirits. And unto many that were blind he gave sight. Then Jesus answering said unto them, Go your way, and tell John what things ye have seen and heard, how that the blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, to the poor the gospel is preached. And blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. And when the messengers of John were departed, he began to speak unto the people concerning John. What went ye out into the wilderness for to see? A reed shaken with the wind? But what went ye out for to see? A man clothed in soft raiment? Behold, they which are gorgeously apparelled and live delicately are in king's courts. But what went ye out for to see? A prophet? Yea, I say unto you, and much more than a prophet. This is he of whom it is written, Behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. For I say unto you, among those that are born of women, there is not a greater prophet than John the Baptist. But he that is least in the kingdom of God is greater than he. And all the people that heard him, and the publicans, justified God, being baptized with the baptism of John. But the Pharisees and lawyers rejected the counsel of God against themselves, being not baptized of him. And the Lord said, Whereunto then shall I liken the men of this generation, and to what are they like? They are like unto children sitting in the marketplace, and calling one to another, and saying, We have piped unto you, and ye have not danced. We have mourned to you, and ye have not wept. For John the Baptist came neither eating bread nor drinking wine, and ye say, He hath a devil. The Son of Man is come eating and drinking, and ye say, Behold, a gluttonous man and a winebibber, a friend of publicans and sinners. But wisdom is justified of all her children. And one of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him. And he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. And behold, a woman in the city which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment, and stood at his feet behind him weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with the ointment. Now when the Pharisee which had bidden him saw it, he spake within himself, saying, This man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him, for she is a sinner. And Jesus answering said unto him, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. And he saith, Master, say on. There was a certain creditor which had two debtors. The one owed 500 pence and the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him most? Simon answered and said, I suppose that he to whom he forgave most. And he said unto him, Thou hast rightly judged. And he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, Seest thou this woman? I entered into thine house. Thou gavest me no water for my feet, but she hath washed my feet with tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much, but to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. And he said unto her, Thy sins are forgiven. And they that sat at meat with him began to say within themselves, Who is this that forgiveth sins also? And he said to the woman, Thy faith has saved thee. Go in peace. May the Lord bless his word and help Dave in prayer.
Let us pray. O Lord, we would come low to thy footstool now, seeking mercy for our souls. O Lord, wilt thou hear the cry of the afflicted and the poor people, those who have come up with nothing in themselves to plead, but hoping alone in thy mercy. O Lord, we have to come with true confession of our sins. Lord, how many have come up into the house of prayer and have made confession before they came. Oh, do look upon each broken-hearted, mourning sinner and draw them to the mercy seat. Enable each one to pour out their hearts before thee. And Lord, do grant true worship. Oh, that we might be found at thy feet, looking unto thee to supply our needs. Lord, to come with that woman of old. Lord, help me. We need help, Lord, to pray. We need the aid of the dear Holy Spirit to put real prayer in our hearts. And oh, that we might seek thee for the blessing of the Lord, which maketh rich, that thou wilt turn our darkness into day, that thou wilt speak as thou didst to that woman we have just read of, that her sins are forgiven her, that our sins are forgiven us. Lord, to know that thou didst send thy dear Son to suffer, bleed, and die, and rise again, that we might know that our sins are pardoned. Oh, we do beseech thee, come and touch our hearts. Grant us that true contrition before thee, that in ourselves we are nothing but sin and disgrace. But our help is in the Lord our God, that we may this day see a scene of matchless grace. Jesus in the sinner's place, in our place, for our sins, bearing them away into the land of forgetfulness. Oh, we beseech thee, Lord, do grant us that true broken-hearted, sitting at the feet of Jesus, and hearing thy word, and to prove that it is all through sovereign, eternal, distinguishing grace that thou hast remembered our souls and not left us to our sins deserved. Lord, eternity is a tremendous sound to many of us, and especially as we can realize that our days here now are few, and we feel the mud-walled cottage shake, but we cannot say we long to see it fall until we know that look of thine that tells us that we are one of thine, and that thou hast redeemed us, that thou hast taken away all our iniquity, that thou hast written our names in the book of life, and that thou wilt receive us at last in that great and awful day of judgment, and that thou wilt own us as thy own dear children, those for whom thou didst live and die. And Lord, then we can say, come, Lord Jesus, come quickly. Come and take us to thyself, that we may be with thee to an endless eternity, and bless thy name for the wonders thou hast wrought. We do desire to thank thee, O Lord, for every mercy in the things of this life, to thank thee for thy kind provision for our bodies in every need, to thank thee that thou hast provided a house of prayer and thy precious word, that thou hast sent those to preach to us the everlasting gospel. And we bless thee, Lord, that we may meet without let or hindrance when many in other lands are persecuted even unto death. Lord, we do bless thee for thy many favours toward us. But oh, the one great blessing we desire above all others, wilt thou come this day and speak to our souls? Say unto us, live. Show us that we are washed and made white in the blood of the Lamb, that there is before us an eternal place of reserved in heaven for us. So we pray, Lord, do come. Do come and bless souls, and may there be those who can speak and say, hear what the Lord hath done for me. We do not have one of thy servants this morning. We pray that thou wilt bless that which shall be read to us. Lord, that one who has gone before, yet the word still may be with power and unction and savour in our souls, that it may speak to us, and that when we go home it may not be all forgotten, but that there may be those things that we may ponder in our hearts. May they lead us to thee. And we pray, Lord, that as we hope one of thy servants will be here this evening, thou wilt bring him safely here, that there may be a divine purpose to speak a word in season to each poor downcast soul, each one that has a great need, a need for time and a need for eternity, that the word may be quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Lord, we do ask thee, oh, that it might please thee that any who as yet know thee not may be quickened into life by the dear Holy Ghost, that they may be caught, that they may be caused to be in want, to know that aching void the world can never fill, to know that they have a never-dying soul, a sinful soul, a soul that has millions of sins, which will sink them to everlasting woe, unless there be found one to stand between them and a holy God, a mediator, one who can point to his own sacrifice and say, I suffered all for thee. So we pray, Lord, do grant us each that knowledge of Jesus, the Saviour of sinners, the Saviour of the lost, to know that he is ours and we are his. Oh, do come, we beseech thee. May there be light, life and power in the ministry of the word. And may all the glory, Lord, redound to thee. May there our song be, hear what the Lord hath done for me. We pray for help, to call upon thee now, to remember our nation, to remember our sovereign, the Queen, the government and ministers, to remember those who rule over us, as we are enjoined to do in thy holy word. And Lord, as we are in such awful times, when the spirit of Antichrist is so abroad in the earth, we pray that thou wilt arise and remember the cries of thy dear people, that thou wilt arise and put to flight the powers of hell, that Satan may not have the ascendancy, but that thou wilt come and say, thus far and no further. We do pray for our dear young people, that thou wilt grant them grace in their young years, if thy holy will, and that as they are so often feeling to be different and not able to join with all the pleasures of this world, so, Lord, that as they go to school and to college and to work, that they may be given grace to stand when so often scorn is poured upon them. But oh, do bless them. This is worth more than all the world's esteem. Do remember us now. We pray for our brother that thou wilt help him in taking this service, in reading the sermon to us. And do help us to hold up his arms by prayer, and to pray that the word of the Lord may be light, life and power in our souls even this day, even as he reads it to us, that we may have the witness of the Holy Ghost, that we are born of God, and that our treasure is above. We fall before thee, unworthy of the least of thy mercies. We have nothing but sin we thee can give. It must be sovereign grace alone. Hear, Lord, in heaven thy dwelling place, and when thou hearest, forgive. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Hymn 572. Before the earth or seas were made, Jesus was chosen as our head, the Father's first elect. In him the church was chosen too, and he engaged to bring them through, nor will he them neglect. 572. and read to you a sermon preached by Mr. Samuel Curtis. And you will find the text in the chapter we read, the Gospel of Luke, chapter 7, and the last five words in verse 39. The last five words of verse 39. For she is a sinner. The whole verse. Now when the Pharisee which had bidden him saw it, he spake within himself, saying, This man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him, for she is a sinner. And I do not suppose there was anyone more sensible of that solemn truth than was the poor woman herself. Whatever others might have observed in her character, whatever reason they might have had to reproach her and to say, as the Pharisee here does, she is a sinner, depend upon it, there was none but herself could enter into the bitter feelings of it. She alone knew the bitter throes of her heart and the sorrows of her soul as she entered experimentally into that solemn truth we sometimes sing, Here on my heart the burden lies, while past offences pain my eyes. It is a precious truth which the scribes and Pharisees gave utterance to, although we know that they said it in a very disrespectful, reproachful way. This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. I say, it is a precious truth, a truth which some of us have cause to be thankful for. If the Lord Jesus Christ had manifested his favours, blessed with his grace, imparted his love to any other people besides sinners, then you and I would never have known anything about these things. We have cause, I say, to bless God for this precious truth, that Christ Jesus receiveth sinners still, and that he eateth with them, that is very familiar with them. It is nice to find in our individual experience that there is at times a sweet familiarity between the Lord Jesus Christ and ourselves. I often have to mourn the littleness of this that I am favoured to enjoy, and yet am favoured with that measure which makes me long for more, which makes my heart pant for more, which makes me to want more, that is, to know more of Jesus Christ, to enjoy more of his presence, more of the power and sweetness of his love in my heart. I say I want to be favoured with a much larger measure of these things. It is a mercy, friends, if you've had a taste. And depend upon it, if you've had a taste of the reality of them, it has spoiled you for other things. There is something so choice, something so sweet, something so precious about them, that the vain carnal things of this poor dying world can never afford. You have been favoured to taste a little of those joys that angels above have never tasted. Never did angels taste above redeeming grace and dying love. Strictly speaking, friends, there was no need for them to do so, because they are those pure, those holy, sinless beings who have been preserved in that holy, happy state in which God created them. It is not so with you and me. We are sinners. We are a part of fallen mankind. We see and feel the ruin of the fall. We see it all around us. It matters not where you may turn your eyes. You cannot fail to see this and the sad and solemn effects of it. It manifests itself in the infant that hangs at the mother's breast or lies in the cradle. It manifests itself in our childhood, youth, manhood, and older age. I say it matters not where we look. We cannot fail to see the ruins of the fall. Some of us not only see it, but feel it within. I say we feel it within. Well, no, it is those that feel it within, they that have known and felt it, that will be able to bless God for that precious truth we have referred to, that Christ Jesus does receive sinners still. And when such get a taste of his love and experience a little of the power and sweetness of his grace, then they do indeed taste of redeeming grace and dying love. And depend upon it, friends, if you get a taste of that, you won't find anything else to substitute for it. I have sometimes said, theirs is a poor profession who, while they profess Jesus Christ, yet do not find sufficient in him to make them happy. Do not find all in him that heart could wish, but must needs seek after the vanities of this world. What a sickly sight, what a heart-rending sight, for godly people to behold those that profess his truth, that we hope know and love his truth, seeking their pleasures, their happiness, in the vanities of this poor dying world. Where is the separation? Come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. But we will come a little nearer to the subject before us. The Lord Jesus Christ at this particular time had entered into the Pharisee's house to eat bread. And whilst he was there, this woman, a woman in that city which was a sinner, also ventured in. The Pharisee had not bidden her. He undoubtedly would have been shocked at the very thought of such a thing. But the poor woman entered. The Lord Jesus Christ was there. He was her chief attraction. He caused her to be there. And this poor woman came when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house with an alabaster box of ointment and stood at his feet behind him and began to wash his feet with tears and to wipe them with the hairs of her head. Simon, when he saw it, and was moved with indignation, and spoke within himself, saying, "This man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that touches him, for she is a sinner." Now Simon did not speak audibly. No one heard his voice. But the Lord Jesus Christ himself took Simon, as it were, upon his own ground, and he said, "Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee." He said, "Master, say on." What a nice way the Lord Jesus Christ had of administering reproofs and rebukes where they were needful. It was not done in a harsh and unkind spirit. No, it was done by him most affectionately, most kindly, and yet most effectually. And depend upon it, friends, those reproofs and those rebukes which are administered with the greatest tenderness, with feelings of kindness, will prove to be the most effectual. They will do most good. May the Lord give us grace, those of us that profess his name, to follow the example of our Master in this particular, and when it is needful for us to reprove and to rebuke, to do it in the same kind, gentle, affectionate way in which he himself did it. Well now, the Lord Jesus Christ, in answering this Pharisee, how he proved to him not only that he was a prophet, but that prophet which Moses said the Lord would raise to them of their brethren. Not only that he was a prophet, but that he was the great omniscient being who searcheth the hearts and trieth the reins of the children of men. As such, he knew the secret reasoning of Simon's heart when he said within himself, reasoned within himself, this man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him, for she is a sinner. Now I will try and speak a little from the words of our text. In doing so, I shall try to notice a few points in the experience of this woman, which I am satisfied will correspond with those found in every poor sinner that is called by grace, as far as they are enabled to travel with this woman in her experience, as recorded in the subject before us. I have no doubt but that a goodly number will be left behind, for they will not be able to travel in all points as recorded of this woman in the scripture before us. But it will be a mercy, friends, if you can go a few steps with her. If you are enabled to come in a few points, depend upon it, you will be able to follow on in the others in due time. The others will all be made plain. The Lord does not do all he does for his people in a few days, nor yet in a few months or years. He is sovereign in all these things and will manifest his sovereignty. He raises up one in a short period of time to such a point of experience which others who have been walking in the way for 50, 60 years or more have never been favoured to attain unto. I say, we see the sovereignty of God manifested in his dealings. But the one thing is to have a real manifest proof that he has dealt and is dealing with us in a gracious, saving way and manner. And if we are enabled to trace this in any humble, any little measure, we are favoured individuals indeed, most highly favoured. Well then, let us look into the case of this poor woman as set forth in our text, for she is a sinner. We may say in the first place that she was a real sinner. What I mean by that is one who was sensible of that solemn truth that she was a sinner. All are sinners in God's sight. There is no exception to this particular point. But whilst all are sinners in God's sight, there are but few so in their own. I was speaking in Wiltshire a few weeks back when the good man I was staying with was telling me how he had been reproached by one of the professors of religion in the town where he lived. He was reproached for belonging to a people who felt they were real sinners. My friend said, "It is perfectly true. And all the difference between you and me is that I know it and you do not. I know, I feel this truth. You have no knowledge of it yourself." Ah, friends, this is the difference. One is made sensible of it, made to feel it. The other is left in ignorance of it, does not know it, does not feel it. It is no pain or grief to him. So, that this woman was a real sinner. That is, one that felt herself to be a sinner. And I do like people that feel themselves to be sinners. Not simply make a lip confession of it, but feel and come solemnly before God and say, Here, on my heart the burden lies, whilst past offences pain my eyes. There is a reality in that, a real sinner. We have nothing recorded of what the nature of her sins was. No, no. I have heard some, and even ministers, in the case of Mary Magdalene, who have gone so far as to describe the nature of her sins, giving names to those seven devils which it is said the Lord cast out of her. But when all is said and done, it is but a matter of speculation, for nothing is recorded in the scriptures. You may give your version, and I may give mine. You might give seven of one kind, and I will give seven more, and someone else seven more. Infinite wisdom manifests itself here, and I say we know she was a sinner, but the nature of her sins is not recorded. If they had been, and there was one in your case different from that, what a handle the enemy would make of it. What a field it would have been for him to work upon. What havoc he would make in your mind. Ah, there was pardon for that woman, forgiveness for her. But you see, your sins are different from hers. If it had not been for this and that, there would have been hope for you. But now there is no hope. You are such a sinner. I say, infinite wisdom has withheld the nature of those sins. It is a mercy to know you have sinned and to feel the guilt of it within. I would say to such, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth us from all sin. Mark the words, from all sin. His pardon full for sin that's past, it matters not how black they're cast. And oh my soul, with wonder view, for sin to come, there's pardon too. And where can pardon be found? Where is forgiveness to be found? In the bleeding Lamb, in Christ the bleeding Lamb. There poor sinners find it. The ruin is in themselves, the remedy is in him, absolutely in him. She is a sinner. Not only was she a real sinner, but she was a poor sinner. A poor sinner. That is, she had nothing of her own whereby she was able to make any recompense whatever for her sin, for her transgressions. And so the Lord, in appealing to Simon, said, a certain creditor had two debtors. Two. One owed 500 pence, and the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him most? Here you see we come to the character, to another point of experience. Because the Lord Jesus Christ was pointing out to Simon the very facts of this woman's case. She was a 500 pence debtor, but she had nothing to pay, nothing to pay, nothing could she pay. Ah, poor sinner, you have tried to get something to pay. I remember the time when I tried to get something to pay with. And had it been possible for me to have done without Jesus Christ, I believe I should have done without him. But instead of being able to get anything to pay to make up for past arrears, I found I was not able to keep books straight for the present. The more I strove against sin's power, I sinned and stumbled, but the more. Instead of getting better, I got worse. And so I went on and on and on, till I came to that place where I had to fall down before him as a guilty, helpless, ruined sinner, with Lord save, or I perish. Nothing to pay, nothing to pay. And it is a mercy, there is nothing to pay. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. The gospel of Jesus Christ is a free gospel. I say it is a free gospel, and the poor sinner that receives it will have to come empty-handed, come without anything, come just like the poor woman did, with nothing to pay, nothing to pay. Then, you know, such will be favoured to prove this. 'Tis a precious truth. The words are simple, but they are sweet and precious. To be favoured to enter into the experience of them is something grand, something blessed, something infinitely beyond what this poor dying world can afford. Well, say you, what is that? Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sins had left their crimson stains, he washed them white as snow. Oh, would you not like to enter in to the sweet experience of that? A real sinner, a poor sinner brought to bankruptcy and ruin with nothing to pay, nothing to pay, all paid. Not only so, but this woman was a humble sinner. Humble, that is, one that is brought down. And she was brought down to that place which the proud dignity of human nature would never, never condescend to. I say it would never condescend to stoop so low, that is, to the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. Proud nature would despise it. It would be too mean, too low, too contemptible, too proud, fallen nature. And yet, that very spot the world would despise, which the ungodly would disdain, is to the living child of God one of the most sacred, sweet and solemn spots that it is possible for him to be found in. One has said, I would be near thy feet or at thy wounded side, feel how thy heart does beat and see its purple tide, trace all the wonders of thy death and sing thy love in every breath. Poor sinner, is that where you would like to be found? Is that where you want to get to? Is that where you would forever sit? Would you have your dwelling place there? Favoured soul, favoured soul. This poor woman, this sinner, was a humble sinner. A sinner that was brought to that place where none but the heaven-born and heaven-bound people of God are brought, to the feet of Jesus Christ. Humbled, brought down there. Mark, friends, the particular way in which she was brought down. I have no doubt in my mind but what this poor woman had sunk very low in her feelings under her sense of her sinnership, guilt and shame of what she was as a sinner before God. Oh, it is a humiliating sight, is it not? I say it is a humiliating sight, a sickening sight. It pains and grieves our hearts. And if it thus pains and grieves us, oh, what must it be to those pure and holy eyes of him who cannot look upon iniquity? Depend upon it, ours is only just a little taste. It is like little children paddling in the rippling waves upon the sands by the seashore. They just feel the waves. They taste them, as it were. But oh, how little they know, how little they understand of the ocean depths which lie beyond. And in comparison, friends, with what you and I really are, it is but little we know. And it is a mercy if we know that little which makes us sick and ashamed of self and brings us with the poor publican to confess our sins and smite upon our breast and say, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I say it is a humiliating sight, and brings one down, lays one low. But there is something will bring one lower than that. What say you? Is it possible? Something to sink one lower than that. Aye, there is a blessed secret in what I am going to say, which none but those who love and fear God can understand. And that is this. When a little of the power of love divine drops into the heart of those poor guilty sinners, these bruised, crushed and mangled ones, that will sink them lower and lower and lower. But mark, while it sinks them lower, it raises them higher. It sinks and raises them. Sinks them lower and lower at his feet. It raises them up out of the valley of Achor to the door of hope. Raises them up at times from the depths of guilt, misery and sin to a sweet assurance of their interest in redeeming love. It was so in the case of this poor woman. She had tasted of that love, and it was that love which constrained her heart in love and affection to do as she did to the Lord Jesus Christ at this particular time. Here you see the beauty of the figure which the Lord makes use of. When they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him most? Ah, the poor woman had something to love him for. She loved him, if I may so speak, with his own love. Yes, with his own love. That is how I love to love God. That is how I love to love the Lord Jesus Christ. That is how I love to love his precious truth. I love to feel a little of the sweetness, the preciousness of his own love dropping into my heart and begetting love to him. She was a loved and a loving sinner. Do you know anything about it? Do you feel your heart sometimes drawn in affection to the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you feel it drawn in sweet affection to his precious truth? Do you feel it sometimes drawn in a sweet affection to his people, to his house of prayer, to the precious ordinances of his house and to his ways? And how you feel sometimes as though you would like to be enabled, just like good Simeon, to embrace the Lord Jesus Christ as he did when he said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation. It reminds me of a little circumstance in my own experience. 2 or 3 years since now, I had engaged to speak one evening, and in the friend's house where I was staying, a short time previous to the service, not having my own pocket Bible and failing to find one in the room, I asked the lady of the house to lend me one. Speaking after the manner of men, she got me one of the best Bibles. But I call them the best, that have been well worn and well fingered. The Bibles in which you find a mark put against this text and the other. And these, could they speak, would have some precious things to tell. Instead of bringing me one of this kind of Bible, the good lady of the house must needs bring me a nice clean Bible. But as she handed it to me, I saw upon the cover of it the words, Holy Bible, and I felt such a love to that book as God's book, Holy Bible. I felt I could take it and clasp it to my bosom and sing, Holy Bible, book divine, precious treasure, thou art mine. Oh, that is love. Love to God's truth. Love to the Bible because it's God's book. A secret something that draws your affection to it. Ah, that is it, friends. When you get a little something from his truth, something from himself, something that drops into your heart, it captivates you, wins your affections, and you love him with his own love. This woman of whom Simon says she is a sinner, was not she a favoured sinner? Had not God done something for her to show her her state, to humble her down and manifest his love as he did, to cause such feelings of love in her heart toward the dear Redeemer as that which manifested itself in her? Then there is one more point in conclusion. That is, she was a pardoned sinner, one that was freely forgiven. Simon, I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven. If the Lord Jesus Christ had told Simon such was the case, and never sealed it upon the heart of the woman herself, she would never have experienced the gracious effect of it. Ah, we do not want these things second hand, but direct from his own mouth. We want him to say, I have loved thee. We want him to say, thy sins are forgiven thee. The sheep hear his voice. Poor sinner, do not you long to hear his voice? To hear him speak? To hear him speak the word? To seal his pardoning love upon your heart? Can you say, O speak, and bid my heart rejoice? 'Tis a mercy to want it. And I say, if you are able to go on a little with this poor woman in the first part, the first few steps, and not as yet able to follow after, yet you long to do so, you may depend on it, that God who has brought you thus far will lead you on and perfect that which concerneth you. Would he have taught you to trust in his name, and thus far have brought you to put you to sinner, to shame? No, sinner, never, never. We will leave the few remarks. May the Lord grant his blessing to rest upon them, and to his name shall be the praise.
Collections last Lord's Day were £670, for which we are very thankful. God willing, Mr. Jonathan Buss will preach this evening, and tomorrow evening there will be a prayer meeting with an address by Mr. Chapman, followed by a church meeting. Mr. Izzard is expected to preach on Tuesday evening, and God willing, Mr. Charles Warboys will preach next Lord's Day and address the Sunday school in the afternoon. Let us close with hymn 410. Oh, for a heart prepared to sing to God my Saviour and my King, while with his saints I join to tell my Jesus has done all things well. Hymn 410.
none leave it. How precious is this? Oh, Lord, we do thank thee for what we have heard this morning. Pray thy blessing of to be with us now as we part. Lord, do watch over each one. May we be in the Spirit on the road. Do gather with the children this afternoon. Do come up with thy servant to see. Lord, we do pray that we be with him where he is during the day. Bring him up to us this night. Lord, may he be thy messenger with thy voice. Oh, Lord, do grant him liberty. Give him that word to bring. And Lord, we do pray that thou so grant my peace. Lord, do confirm. Lord, those Lord, who come pleading, Lord, for that compliment. Oh, do come, Lord, do grant him. And Lord, do grant him that liberty. Oh, may he be thy messenger this night. So, Lord, do gather with us if I do. And Lord, grant my message. We do pray for our visiting friends today, Lord, do be with them. May there have been something. And Lord, be with each one. Remember, Lord, the young friends who were married here on Friday, where they are today. Watch over them. Lord, go before them. Be with us now as we come. Lord, do undertake for us. Lord, do have mercy on us. Forgive our errors. We ask you. For Jesus Christ. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship and communion of the Holy Ghost.